Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Motion toward us by KJ. They give it to KJ to the 30, 25, near corner, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Penn State, KJ Hamler. First and 10, pit 14. Back goes McSorley. Set over the middle. Hamler got it. Touchdown, Penn State. And the Nittany Lions close the half with a flourish. Sorley takes it. Sorley will keep it and go. Touchdown, Penn State! Trace McSorley's first carry of the game, and the Nittany Lions have a two-score lead. Gilligan with no pressure. High, tumbling punt, nose down. Fair catch, Arujo Lopes. He dropped the ball. It's at the five. Loose on the turf. Still loose. They dive in, and Pitt recovers at the three-yard line. Arujo Lopes got back in there and recovered it. Heels right near the end line. At the 40-yard line of Pitt is Tompkins. Kick goes right to left. Here's the snap. Takes it. Kicks it out of there. Line drive. Tompkins will take it to the 39. Tompkins swings it far side of the field. 35, 30, 25, 20. Tompkins to the 10 to the 5. Touchdown, Penn State. Sorley takes it back to pass. Near corner of the end zone, he throws, and hip and hammers there, and Max got it. Touchdown, Penn State. Game, set, and match, Nittany Lions. They're going to give it to Allen up the middle. Allen to the goal line. Touchdown, Penn State. Mark Allen, his fifth career rushing touchdown, and the Nittany Lions now lead it 43-6. Monroe, Sutherland, here's a quick snap. Pickett rolls far side, throws far side. It is caught, turned inside to the 30. Fumbles the ball on the turf, and a flag is down, by the way, at the 15. Penn State recovered, but there is a flag down at the 15-yard line. Makes the snap. Clifford's first career pass. Long and deep, near corner of the end zone. Up and caught. Touchdown, Penn State! Brandon Polk, Sean Clifford's first career pass results in a 34-yard scoring strike to Brandon Polk.
I think they won. All right. I think everyone knows that's listened to me for a long time how I treat such things. And to me, you know, you step up in competition from week one to week two. That's the way these schedules have been set up forever. And the question is, are you a better football team from week one to week two? I really take all the emotion out of the game. There are a lot of people that I completely understand. You know, they look back on all these years at Pitt and so forth. And I just, you know, and I think people know I don't quite feel the same way about it, even though I've been here for 40 years. I just don't. It's to the point now where I feel that Penn State is playing for different stakes than Pitt is. And that's not a knock on Pitt. I'm saying Penn State is now playing for different stakes. So winning this game is a means to an end. And so to me, it is the step up in competition from week one to week two. And I'm going to make the same statement 2 years from now when Penn State plays Virginia Tech. And I'm going to make the same statement 3 years from now when Penn State plays Auburn. Hey, you're stepping up from week one to week two. Are you a better football team from week one to week two? Because I feel like this is a journey for Penn State. That winning this game, despite the fact it's another team in state, is not the be-all, end-all, and here we go. That's not what it comes down to. To me, in this journey of the goal of trying to get to the college football playoff, you have to negotiate each week and be better each week as you go. There has to be a building process. So in the building process, to me, was Penn State better from week one to week two? And there's no question they were. Number one, they were exponentially better and more consistent in special teams all the way through. The first half there was a lack of offensive consistency. Some good moments, some not so. And then great offensive consistency in the second half, except for the drops. Except for the drops. Remember, the drop passes are going to figure in. And I've always felt it was a very, very tough call in this current era when it comes to equipment as to whether receivers wear gloves or not. I don't know. There are several players, Saquon Barkley was one of them, that when it came time to practice, they would practice without gloves in the rain. Because, I mean, James would practice outside. No, he did not go outside last night. Okay, last night they did work indoors. Okay, but I think it's a tough call as to how comfortable you are. But I think Derek Williams said it best. You gotta catch the ball. And Derek was rather matter of fact about that. You gotta catch it. Simple as that. So that's the one area on offense where you're like, okay, more consistency in catching the football. Right, that's what you're looking for there. But for the most part, the offense, once they hit from the last 32 minutes, they have pretty good offensive rhythm. Defensively, once the ends change their contain, they stop the Pitt running game cold. Once they took care of the edges with the ends, Pitt's running game, which had flourished for a quarter and a half, suddenly went by the boards. And was Penn State a better team than the week before? No question. Now, you have to keep going. You have to take, well, let's just pick a number, 35 minutes of really good, consistent football and make it 40 minutes. And then you've got to make it 45. And then you've got to make it 50. And then you have to make it 55. And will you ever be able to play that complete game? You attempt to, but it's awfully hard to do. But were they better across the board? I felt yes. Was the offensive line better than the week before? Yes. The tight ends, I think, have been good so far for them. I think Miles Sanders had a really good night. Obviously, you don't want Ricky Slade putting the ball on the ground twice. And defensively, they got better and better and better as the night went on. You know, early on, they made enough big plays defensively. Amani Oyuwariye had the interception at the 1 yard line. They, after the Slade fumble, Pitt drove down inside the five, had a fourth and three at the 4 yard line. Penn State threw it for a loss. And you just felt that that was Pitt's last gasp when that happened. Just felt that way. And to me, this is all in the context of big picture. You want to step up in competition from game one to game two. They did that, and they won it, and they look better doing it. It tells you a lot. Especially when you're playing a lot of young players like Penn State is playing. They're playing a lot of young people. Jesse Lucchetta got some valuable time playing at linebacker. And he didn't get linebacker in a mop-up role. He got linebacker at a point of the game where you're playing. It's still a game. Micah Parsons played a lot better. Just a 1 week improvement, boy. Micah Parsons is going to be a good, good player. You know, yeah. You see it in practice, but you want to see it in games. Yeah, I can see it in practice. You see, I watch practice. You can see Micah Parsons is a great athlete out there who knows how to play the game. But you want to see him do it in a game. Well, now you see the second game, and he went from being, I thought, good in the opener to being really good in the second game. I think it was valuable time at safety for Lamont Wade. I thought it was valuable time for Tariq Castro Fields. I thought Zeke McPherson got valuable time at corner. KJ Hamler is obviously somebody that's going to be an important weapon as time goes. I think it was an important confidence builder for Mack Hippenhammer to make that catch. I thought the offensive line just got better and better and better as the night went along. And then the special teams part. Blake Gilligan, and Blake was no better than okay in the opener. That was just kind of strange because, I mean, he's been so great in the preseason, and he just had one of those days against Appalachian State. Well, he was the best punter in the nation on Saturday night. I mean, you think about it. He tilted that field. He just flat out tilted that field. Pitt had no field position to work with. None. And it even got to the point where Pitt started fair catching on kickoffs because they were just trying to get the ball to the 25-yard line. Penn State's coverage was that good. Penn State's punt coverage was that good. Gilligan was just that good. And you heard one of the highlights there of Arujo Lopes fumbling the ball and then finally recovering himself at the 5-yard line or at the 4-yard line. And again, Gilligan took four of his five punts and plopped them inside the 20 and more realistically put them inside the 10. He was just terrific. So, game one to game two improvement? Absolutely. Can they be better? No question. They have so many young guys playing. And look at all the young guys playing. Really, the first really significant long-term reps for Miles Sanders. You know, Ricky Slade trying to get into the flow of it. Mac Hippenhammer, KJ Hamler getting long-term reps. Danny Dalton, Jonathan Holland. Then you go over to the other side. Really legitimate reps for a guy like Daniel Joseph. Yetur Matos playing more. PJ Mustafer. Fred Hansard. Ellison Jordan. Jan Johnson. Micah Parsons. Jesse Lucchetta. Lamont Wade moving from a corner to a safety. Garrett Taylor. I think Garrett Taylor played really well Saturday night. You know, Rafael Cheka, Jake Pinniger. You know, these are all people like trying to, you know, really get their first real flow on the field and in a game and a feel for it. And they're getting better from week to week. Now, this week the challenge is, especially for the defense, dealing with pure and absolute pace. Kent State is going to run as many plays offensively as they can. They want to go, 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 go. And that's something that's going to be important, is how do you handle this pace? Now, if you can handle the pace in such a way where you get a couple of three and outs, now have they not only not moved the ball, but they didn't run any time off the clock either. And I think defensively, this again, they run a 3-4 defense. But that's what you're looking at. Pace is going to be the big story. Our big story on Mondays, as always, is brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So a good opening win for Penn State, followed by a good second win as they beat Pitt on Saturday. You know, look, I understand there's a lot of emotion about this one way or the other in most quarters. And it's at the point now where I look at, like, Penn State's playing for big stakes. Right now, you have to win to get there. So I'm looking at that context of, look, what are your goals when you start the season? Do you want to win the season's over to be, we're the Pennsylvania champions? We're the Big Ten champions? Or do you want to be in the college football playoff? Well, I think you want to be in the college football playoff because if you are, there's a good chance the other two parts fall into place. You can't have your ultimate goal being, I got to win this game the second week of the season. Okay, that second game of the season is a means to an end. Right, the building process in the season. It's a building process you have in any season. I don't care if it's football or it happens to be soccer or gymnastics, whatever it may be. You're trying to build to get to what you hope is an ultimate end. So that's what they're trying to do here. And I felt that that, you know, in terms of the next step, that was a really good next step in really lousy conditions on Saturday night. Sean, your Steelers did not put away the game yesterday.
What a great performance by James Conner, but the big turning point was that fumble halfway through the fourth quarter. I mean, you can't glaze past that. But, yeah, rough day for Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, if you're a team, you're staring at the other team across the other side of the ball, and they turn the ball over six times, you'd expect to win that game.
Yeah, but there's another part to this that I think is really important. You're the Pittsburgh Steelers. Excuse me. You're the Pittsburgh Steelers. You're facing a team that is now 1-31-1 in its last 33 games. And you have a two-score lead, and you did not put the game away. You're already facing a team that doesn't have a lot of confidence. And you didn't put them away. That, to me, is the biggest issue of all.
Myles Garrett was very impressive. Very impressive.
It's a really rough, rough day for the suit, isn't it?
He's been busy today.
The Steelers tie the Browns. And his supervisor's back from vacation.
That's right. Playtime, gone.
She has an ear-to-ear smile right now, doesn't she, that I said that?
First thing I said to her in the meeting this morning, welcome back.
I hope you echoed my sentiments.
Sure did.
All right. We will come back with Joe Susan, then Donnie Collins, and then Matt Leon. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance.
Sunbury Motors Ford knows many of you will be heading to the Bloomsburg Fair, so they need to sell cars now. Sunbury Motors is going to price all new Fords at a level that makes it impossible to say no. You'll be feeling great driving to the fair in a 2018 Ford Escape for only $18,820. Sunbury Motors has to sell seven new Fords every day from now till the Bloomsburg Fair. Pack up the family in your 2018 Explorer. Explorers start under $30,000 at SMC, and they have 20 to choose from. Every Edge, Focus, Fusion, Fiesta, EcoSport will be discounted for SMC to sell seven new Fords every day from now till the fair. Sunbury Motors has 70 new F-150s marked down to as low as $25,969 and just announced 0% for 72 months on F-150s. You'll save thousands over the term of your loan. SMC needs seven sales every day before the Bloomsburg Fair. We'll see you at Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855. Or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show is brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served this valley for decades. They've been able to find the right insurance. I don't care whether it's auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be. And they've been able to find the best price for their customers. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And the Steve Jones Show is driven by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, we're going to have Joe Susan on in here in just a few moments to talk about Bucknell's Sacred Heart and then get ready for the first road game of the season coming up. And we'll talk to him about that. And they've got Penn coming up this week at Franklin Field. So Ivy League, and then they've got to play at Villanova, and then the Holy Cross, a three games in a row on the road. I call it a three-game road trip, but they're not on the road. They come home in between just and then get ready. But this is a really rugged stretch for Bucknell coming up. Really rugged. So, you know, we'll talk to him about that. And congratulations, by the way, to Jared Cooper, who was selected as the Patriot League Rookie of the Week. He had 96 yards rushing, 15 carries, 28 receiving yards and 2 catches. So he had a good week. And it's part of the future of Bucknell football right there, Jared Cooper. So congratulations to him.
Yeah, we had a great time on Saturday to Hero Appreciation Day during our special expanded 2-hour tailgate broadcast over on Eagle 107. Did some tailgating and a little bit of rain here and there, but we got through it, and lots of great personnel were on hand, as giving them credit where credit's due, and a really cool thing that the folks from William Cameron Fire Company in Lewisburg did. They put their they extended their ladders as up as high as they possibly could, and there was just this ginormous American flag that was hanging right by the ticket entrance to Gate A, which was really cool.
Nice.
That you'd see that as you're passing by on Route 15 going by.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. No, they do a great job with game presentation at Bucknell. And we'll talk to Joe about that and more once we get an opportunity to talk with him.
And as they were entering through Christie's gates, as they were walking into the stadium complex, there was American flags on each side as they were walking through the tailgate area. Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very nice. Yeah, I mean, look, the game's tied at halftime. It turned out that the second half of that game, they gave up 16, 9 in the third and 7 in the fourth. So it was a lot closer game than the score will tell you. Now, is that something that is comforting to Joe Susan? No. He wants to be winning games. But there's certainly several elements here. With a young quarterback, you want to be able to throw the ball a little bit better. There's no question about that. I mean, when you're averaging only 3.57 yards per attempt, you have to get more out of it than that. In fact, the odd thing is that defensively per attempt, you're only giving up 6.33. That's good. That's a winning number. Yards rushing per attempt against the Bucknell defense, only 3.8 yards an attempt. Not bad. That's not bad. So we'll talk to Joe about that and more when he comes on the show, and hopefully we'll hear from him in just a few moments. The Steelers tied 21-21 yesterday. The Eagles, of course, don't play again until this weekend. They got Tampa Bay. Boy, what is it about Fitzpatrick? And he's the best September quarterback ever.
I'd have thought this would have been a cakewalk for Philly, but my goodness, that was, they were just piling on the points in New Orleans yesterday.
At 48. 48 points. Pretty good. Jameis Winston, he picked a bad time to be out.
Ironically enough, with Ryan Fitzpatrick, he has been in Central PA a few times at the annual Bucknell football golf outing.
Yeah.
Yeah, not this past year, but was there consecutive years, 06, 07.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's playing well, and that's who the Eagles have next. The Phillies, look, they still have 7 games with the Braves. That's the really important deal right there. But they've got to find a gear here pretty soon. The problem I have with the Phillies right now is that they're losing the teams that they should. They should be taking 2 out of 3 from the Mets. They should be taking 2 out of 3 from the Marlins. I did go to the Pirates-Marlins game on Friday night. I looked down at we were right behind the Marlins dugout, and I looked into the dugout, and I said to everybody, I said, there's the Marlins' best player right there, right in front of us. They said, who's that? I said, Don Mattingly. Except he's the manager. That's an issue. So it was good to catch up with Frank Coonley, the Pirates president, and talk with Frank for a couple innings on Friday night. And I'll tell you, here's one. Guess who surprised the heck out of me last night over football practice? Mike Motti. Mike Motti was in State College last night, but he's going to be here for a couple days. And I did, by the way, talk to Mike about coming on the show, and he says he'll do the show with us anytime. He says he doesn't do a lot of shows, but he'll do this one, he said. So we'll set up something to get Mike on. I think a lot of people just like to hear him. He's in that limbo right now. He says, New Orleans keeps calling me back, and every time they call me back, it's like, I keep going. And he's got 5 years out of it. But right now, he's in limbo at the moment. So he stopped along the way, and he saw Greg Fitzgerald down at Tennessee. So he talked to Fitz, and he kind of worked his way up through. And eventually got up here, and he was actually at practice last night. He's going to go to practice tomorrow night. Team doesn't practice tonight. It's Monday. Now, next Monday, they will practice. Next Monday will be the only Monday they practice all season because they're playing Friday night with Illinois. So the one mandatory day off for the week will be Saturday next week. So they're not practicing today, but they're going to practice next Monday. And they're not going to have everybody there on Monday because they have guys that are in class. But they feel like, hey, look, an abbreviated week, they have to do it. But this week's just a normal week. So is everybody getting together at Maddie's tomorrow? Is that the deal?
Actually, it was earlier today. The weekly Gridiron Club football luncheons. They used to be on Wednesdays. They are now Mondays at noon at Maddie's. So nice. Yeah, it happened earlier today.
You went?
I did. Unfortunately, I could not go.
No.
But I know. Mondays are jammed for me. Mondays are kind of crowded with. We have our weekly Monday morning meeting and got some shows to take care of and that kind
Doug
of thing.
Was there?
So.
Doug was there?
Sure.
Was the color analyst there?
He was there.
Really?
He was. Yeah, I had to go back to my desk to take care of a few things at about 20 to 12, and I have an eye shot to the front door, and he was heading out about 20 to 12. So, had his Bucknell coat on, so I can only assume he'd be heading to Maddie's.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
All right. That's
mm-hmm.
good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Let's see. Alabama's number one. They'll be in cruise control for a while. Ohio State, now this is the week coming up that's going to be interesting to see. They have to go to Jerry World, to Arlington. They're going to take on TCU. TCU's a good team. Not a great team, but they're a good team. Ohio State looks like they've got a lot of great personnel. And, of course, this will be the last game they play for this season without Urban Meyer, their head coach, on the field. And then next week he'll return for the Tulane game.
I'm curious, crowd-wise, on Saturday, how that'll be down at Jerry World. 50-50?
No, I think there'll be more TCU fans. Man, that's a long trip. That's a long trip. Ohio State will be well-represented, but there'll still be more TCU fans there. Let's see. What, Texas, USC, they're talking... I always love how they build these games up. Here it is, the third time. Like, all the players from the first time are all, like, established professionals now in their 30s. Okay, fine. Let's see, what other big games this week? Is this the Auburn-LSU this week, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, that should be a really good game. Yeah. That's a really, really good game. Michigan won. And a wide receiver caught a touchdown pass. First time in 364 days that had happened. Michigan State Remember I told you on Friday my concern would be would they wilt in the heat? And in the fourth quarter, they wilted in the heat. And Arizona State beat them. Arizona State's ranked now. Arizona State's down 2-0. Let's see. Purdue lost. That was not a good loss. I want to say Eastern Michigan beat them. That's not good. Duke, even though being banged up, won at Northwestern. Colorado won late at Nebraska. But the big part is I think Adrian Martinez, the Nebraska quarterback, really good. But then he got hurt. It's kind of a wow, he got hurt. Indiana held off Virginia. Indiana has, let's see, who's Indiana have this week? They have Ball State. Ball State played Notre Dame tough this week. I'm trying to think of anything else in the Big Ten that was significant. I think we had all the significant stuff. I mean, obviously, Ohio State clobbered Rutgers. And then in the NFL, the Aaron Rodgers thing last night was amazing. That was great theater. That's the kind of thing the NFL needed. To be honest with you, the Eagles-Falcons game was just, it just wasn't a good game. It just was not a good game. It was not in the least a compelling game. You had to be a real Eagles fan and a real Falcons game if you thought that that was a fan to think that game on Thursday was a compelling game. It was. It was like, I'm like, why am I watching this? This is dull. Now you get to yesterday and the Packers and the Bears. That second half was electric at Lambeau Field. Now tonight you got the Lions and the Jets. And then you've got the Raiders and the Rams tonight. A doubleheader on Monday Night Football. What are the odds that any of us are awake at the start of the second half of the Rams-Raiders game?
I'll probably, what, a little after midnight?
Yeah.
I'll be cutting it close.
I won't be cutting it close. I'll see the first quarter and that's it.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Donnie Collins next half hour, News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, welcome back. Very pleased to be joined by the head football coach, Bucknell, Joe Susan. Joe, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thanks, Steve. I apologize for being late, but sometimes when you get that HFC title, there's a lot of other things that go along with it. And I was dealing with one of my players, and it's a positive thing, though. I apologize for being late.
Yeah, you don't have to apologize to me. I think no one understands better than I do. I want to start with Jared Cooper, Patriot League Rookie of the Week. What are you seeing in his growth where you know you can get even more from him?
One of the things you see is and special running backs that have it in their DNA. They have vision, and they can anticipate. As the game goes on, they can anticipate how people are trying to defend them, and they do an outstanding job of setting themselves up to take advantage of having linebackers overreact or underreact. And he did it a couple times. Some of the moves he made from a jump cut standpoint were impressive. He is a young man who has a passion, but he really keeps everything at an even keel. The one thing that he does is he thanks us a lot. Anytime you make a correction, he'll thank you. But it's nice to have a running back. You know, obviously, with Chad Fresh not going down and then Marquise Carter being hurt for a little while, to be able to put a young man in there that has that presence that he's not impacted by playing against whoever. And he does a very good job in the receiving game, and he's actually gotten a lot better in the protection game, which are things that at times high school running backs don't bring with them. They have to learn. And he is not, he wasn't phased. He's just ready to roll. And durability. He's not a tall back, but My son said he hadn't seen anybody like that since one of the better running backs we had, the Rutgers and Ray Rice. And I told Jared that, and his eyes lit up. But it's great. It's great to have him. He's a good young man, and going to be fun to coach.
Your defense is giving up only 3 yards per carry. And to be honest with you, 6.3 yards attempt passing-wise is a really good number as well. How well are you doing with playing 11 against the ball?
I think that it's a tribute to Matt Borch, Mike White, Eric Wicks, and Khalid Jones in terms of them being able to bring their minds together and create a plan that frustrates our opponent. We want to, and Matt Boris called it dent, we want to control the line of scrimmage. We want to create negative yardage plays. And, this game was a 21-14 game till midway through the fourth quarter, and we had the ball on the porch. But our defense is predicated on being able to move. We're fortunate that our front players are very good at it. And then our linebackers make a lot of plays, and that's part of the nature of the defense. And then we're excited about the experience that we have in the secondary with the two corners. Brian Marine played as physical a game as I've ever seen him play. And then Fasayo Ololei, he picked six, and one of the things that we saw in that is that he lit it up in terms of speed. He outran any pursuit. And I told my wife and kids this Saturday night that when you're confident, when you know what you're doing, you're a lot faster. When you're thinking, you slow down. And that's what I think is our defensive mindset. They know what they're doing. They're confident in what they're doing.
How much can your offense help out your defense in two ways? Obviously, scoring points is a huge help.
Right.
But in terms of possessing the ball and keeping them off the field, if you can get some consistency and rhythm there, what can that now mean to the overall game?
I think it means a lot. If you look at the when we've been good here, the time of possession that is something that, in some ways, people say it's overemphasized. In the long run, the fresher your defense is in the latter part of the game, the less time they spend on the field, the better they're going to be. We're fortunate we have a lot of depth in the defensive front, which is the place where it takes its biggest toll. But we had opportunities in the scoring zone, in red zone, green zone, gold zone, whatever we call it, and we got to cash in on those. And what those do, Steve, is they give you a chance to play defense a different way.
Yep.
They also create momentum that if you don't score, the other team gets that momentum. And we're driving the ball in the fourth quarter, and we ran a specific route that really had a couple of openings to it, and it was just slightly overthrown and wound up being an interception. They go on and kick a field goal. But what I told the team after the game is that, in most games, there's specific plays that change the game. We have to start making those plays, and we're doing those things on defense. We're doing those things in the special teams. Now it's time for our offense to take charge, and they understand that. And we're fortunate that as we go through the season, we'll get some of these guys back that have been bumped up. But you got to score when you can, and you're not going to win many college football games if you're only scoring 7 points a game.
Franklin Field, Philadelphia, coming up on Saturday at 3 o'clock against Penn. Joe, thanks so much for your time. We greatly appreciate it. Good luck Saturday.
Thanks for enduring me, Steve. And thank you, Sean. I appreciate it. I apologize once again. I was late, but I got to take care of my babies.
You got that right. You did the right thing. Thanks so much, Joe.
Thank you, sir. Take care. Bye.
Joe Susan, next half hour, Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. We'll talk about Penn State and the steps the Nittany Lions are making forward as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.